Russia, the Golden Future, responses to disciples' questions given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 33.
Beloved Bhagwan, although I am deeply satisfied and nourished by my Uttam Punjabi food, still, from time to time, I feel a strong pull towards other dishes and enjoy Italian pizzas, French wine, or Japanese sushi. It's not that I don't want to eat out occasionally, but I'd like to see that it's in my hands whether I do or not, and not be a victim of this hormonal conspiracy. Beloved Master, can you please give me a clue how to go beyond these biological pulls?
If one allows the nature without any inhibition to take its own course, one transcends biology, body, mind, without any effort, but we are full of inhibition. Even the so-called young people who think that they have disowned repression are in a very subtle way repressive. If you are repressive, then you cannot transcend biological pulls. Naturally, without any effort, so the first thing to be remembered that nature is right. All old traditions have been telling to you that nature is not right. You have to divide nature into right and round. And nature is indivisible. While you are dividing it, you are simply making an impossible effort. The whole nature has to be accepted with great joy and gratitude. Biology is not your bondage, but a certain stage of growth. Life taken with insight and understanding helps you to go beyond itself without asking you any discipline. Any effort, any arduous conflict. We are children of the nature. But all the religions have created one thing certainly, a divided mind, a schizophrenic man who is pulled in two directions. They have all given you moralities. The natural man needs no morality. Easy is right. To be natural, to be spontaneous is right. And transcendence comes on its own. The people who are split against themselves, that biology is something to be transcended, that body is something to be fought, that mind has something to be dropped, anybody who is entangled into all these conflicts will never transcend. One should go more easy. It is not a war field. Your life is an autonomous growth. The first need is of a total acceptance. with no reluctance, no unwillingness, no subtle condemnation anywhere in your mind. You are saying, although I am deeply satisfied and nourished with my ekdam Punjabi food, his Punjabi food is Neelam. You say you are deeply satisfied. You don't understand the nuances of being deeply satisfied. It becomes a kind of death. To be alive, one needs a little discontent, a little restlessness, if you are deeply satisfied. From that deep satisfaction arises your desire to change your food once in a while. Man is a creature of evolution and growth. Being deeply satisfied brings a full stop to your life. Ekdam. Ekdam means once for all, once forever. Neelam has an individuality, a grace, a loving heart, and it is very easy to be satisfied with her. He is not a quarreling type, fighting type. She herself is at ease, and anybody who loves her will find soon at ease. Harmony arises, but harmony on the one hand is beautiful, on the other hand is boring. Perhaps you have never thought that satisfaction is a kind of death. It means you are ready to repeat the same every day. that you have forgotten to change, to evolve. Still from time to time, I feel a strong pull towards other dishes and enjoy Italian pizzas, French wine, or Japanese sushi. It is absolutely natural. The problem is arising because of your conditioning. That when you are absolutely satisfied with a woman, why you should ask, why even the desire for somebody else should arise in you? It arises because of your deep satisfaction. Deep satisfaction, it starts deadening you. Nothing new, no excitement. No possibility of no. Always yes. On the one hand, it is very sweet. On the other, it is too sweet. Hence, the desire arises once in a while to have some affair with another woman. It is absolutely natural. If Neelam was a fighting type, nagging type, bitchy, this desire would not have arisen so much. Because she would have never allowed you to be satisfied. She would have kept you always unsatisfied. She would have remained a stranger to you, still to be explored. I know her. She has been open to you, available to you. She has not been holding secrets from you. That is not her fault. That is her beauty. But even the most beautiful rose flowers have their thorns. Even the most satisfying situations have their problems. Because you are too much satisfied, you start asking for a change of state. Italian pizzas French wine or Japanese sushi. Nothing is wrong in it. At least my people who are the herald of the new man have to understand it. That there is nothing wrong in it. The whole old conditioning goes against what I am saying to you. But if you are intelligent, you will see the point. Accept it. But don't keep it a secret from Neelam. Don't let her down. Don't make her feel that she is not enough for you. Say to her that you are too satisfied and my mind wants a little change of atmosphere, some excitement, so that I can feel that I am still alive. And remember, whatever you take for yourself, you have to give her too. It has not to be one-sided. Not that you go to Sajjanov's place or find a Chinese restaurant. You allow her also. Not only allow, because the woman has been repressed by men so much that you will have to pull her out from her conditioning. You will have to help her to move once in a while in new pasture. If you can do that, you will not be only accepting your nature, you will be also helping her to find out her nature. As a man, you are also guilty. Because it is the man who has forced the woman and made her monogamous. In fact, she needs more to move with other people than you. The most astounding researches about man and woman and their sexuality are just amazing. Man can have only one orgasm. The woman can have multiple orgasms. The reason is simple. Because in orgasm, man loses energy. He will need to recover, according to his age, some time again to have another orgasm. But the woman is not losing any energy. On the contrary, her first orgasm gives her a deep incentive to have more orgasms. And she is capable at least of half a dozen orgasms in a single night. Because of this fact, man became so afraid that he prevented the woman to know the fact that anything like orgasm exists. So he is very quick in making love. The woman will take a little longer time because man's sexuality is local, genital. Woman's sexuality is spread all over her body. If a man wants her to have an orgasm, he has to play with her whole body, the foreplay. So her whole body starts throbbing with energy. But once she has had one orgasm, she is utterly dissatisfied because now she knows the taste and she is capable and she knows now she can have deeper orgasms. And man is simply impotent after the first orgasm, at least for 24 hours. He cannot do anything else. He just turns over and goes to sleep. The poor boy is finished. And every woman weeps, cries, because she has not even come. And her lover is finished. To avoid the woman to have the knowledge of Argas, for centuries the woman was not allowed even to know the beauty and the pleasure of Argas. Man has to prevent himself also from having Argas. All that he knows is ejaculation. Ejaculation is not Argas. Ejaculation is simply throwing out energy. One feels more relaxed. The tensions of the energy are gone and one snores better. The woman has become aware only in this century. And the whole credit goes to the movement of psychoanalysis. In the East, 98% women still are unaware that there is anything in making love, because she gets no juice, no experience. She in fact hates the whole affair. Ejaculation is not her need, it is man's need. But both have remained deprived of sex and its ultimate orgasmic experiences. But the trouble was how to manage it. Anything looked very immoral. Either you have to invite all your friends, that 5-6 friends make love one by one to the woman, then she will be satisfied. But that looks very hurting to the ego. Or you have to provide her an electric vibrator. But once he knows the electric vibrator, you are useless. Because the electric vibrator gives her such tremendous orgasmic experiences. That you cannot give. It seems there has been some mistake by nature itself. Men and women are not equal in their orgasmic capacity. You are fully satisfied. But have you ever bothered? Is your beloved has even found a single orgasm? Because she has not found a single orgasm, she can remain devoted to you, monogamous, but if she knows what orgasmic experience is, she will also want once in a while to be with another man. If you love your woman really, you will help her to come out of her old conditionings, which are far deeper. Because man himself has done it. Man himself does not have those conditionings. His morality is very superficial and a hypocrisy. But the woman's morality has gone very deep. Man has been forcing it from the very childhood. If you feel a change, it is your responsibility, and particularly Kamal, a man of your understanding, should be able to understand what I am saying. It is your responsibility to bring Neelam also out into the sun, into the rain, into the wind. So that she can drop all her conditioning. You have to help her. You have to teach her how to enjoy Sarjana's place and not go on eating the Punjabi food the whole life, how to enjoy the Japanese food or the Chinese food. If men and women really love each other, they will help them to be unconditioned from the past. Man has not much conditions. They are superficial. He can drop them very easily, the way you drop your clothes. The woman has been conditioned so much that it is not like dropping your clothes, it is like peeling your skin. It is hard. And unless you love a woman really, it will be impossible on her own to get rid of all those conditionings. Help her. Give her also the taste that in the world there are so many other foods, that in the world other than you there are many more beautiful men. And your woman must know all of them. It is part of your love that your woman becomes more and more richer in her experiences. And the richer she is, she will not only give you satisfaction, she will start giving you excitement and ecstasy. You say, it is not that I don't want to eat out occasionally, but I would like to feel it is in my hands whether I do or not. It is in your hands, but it can be in your hands only if it is in the hands of Neelam too. As far as I am concerned, and my concept of new men and new women is concerned, there should be equal opportunity for both. Not that you are the master and your woman is your slave, that she can remain satisfied with you and you can go once in a while fooling around the neighborhood. She has every right to fool around in the same neighborhood. And there is no need to feel guilty. You have to help her not to feel guilty. It is a very strange phenomenon that women's liberation will be men's liberation too. Their slavery is together. Because you don't allow your woman to be free, how she can allow you to be free? Freedom has to be from both the sides a precious value. Love, recognized, respected. You say and not be a victim of this hormonal conspiracy. If you want to get beyond the hormones and the biology, live it totally, exhaust it. My own understanding is that by the age 14, your hormones start working, and if you allow them total freedom, joyously if you go with them, by the age 42, they would like to go to rest. And this transcendence will be natural. It will not be a celibacy imposed. It will be a celibacy sacred that is coming to you from the beyond. Because you have lived your life totally. And now nothing in the ordinary life interests you. Your interest is for higher values. For deeper search about life, about truth, about creativity, you have passed a childish age. By the age 42, according to me, a man really becomes adult. But that too if he lives naturally. If he lives half-heartedly, then it will take a longer time, maybe 49, maybe 75, maybe even when he is dying, He is thinking only of sex and nothing else. He never transcends it. You both are understanding people and you both love me. And you both can see things without the screens on your eyes clearly. Love each other totally, but occasionally allow each other freedom. But it has to be on both the sides. And it is not going to destroy your love. It is going to make it richer, deeper, more fulfilling, more orgasmic. And those few occasions when you are on holiday from each other, will not take you away from each other. They will go on bringing you closer to each other. Don't have any secrets. Be absolutely open and allow the other person also to be absolutely open. And respect openness. Never, even by your gestures, make the other person feel guilty. That is the greatest crime humanity has been committing. Making people guilty. If the other feels guilty because of very deep-rooted conceptions, help her to be free of the guilt. Love lived in an atmosphere of freedom will transcend you from sex naturally, easily, effortlessly. Love will remain, sex will be gone. And then love has a purity and a beauty and a sacredness of its own. Sitting on a bus in New York, a prim old lady was shocked to overhear an Italian say to another, "Emma came up first." I came on next. To aisa come together again. I come once more keep his choice. Then I come for the last time. When the Italian was finished, the red-faced old maid turned to a policeman sitting nearby and said, "Are not you going to arrest that terrible old man?" "What for?" asked the policeman. "For spelling Mississippi?" Take life more joyously and more jokingly. Let your whole life become a beautiful joke. There is nothing wrong in nature. And to be natural is to be religious. But there are disparities between men and women. Neither biologists nor psychologists have been able to figure out why these disparities exist. The woman is far stronger as far as orgasmic experience is concerned. She needs to have more lovers than men. And man must have become aware of the fact in the very beginning of life. To prevent her, he has completely closed even the possibility of having one orgasm. That's why all women hate sex. I was puzzled because why women hate sex? All the women go to the celibate monks and worship them. And as far as their own husband is concerned, they know he is an old dirty man. The reason is to them, sex means no experience. Just dirtiness. The man is throwing his dirt onto the woman. The woman feels being used. and nobody likes being used. The new man will make love not one way affair from man to woman. It will be a two-way affair. Both will be enjoying it. And science has to find some way either to make man capable of having multiple orgasms so he can go long and long with the woman, giving her as many orgasms as she requires, and make the whole journey beautiful. Our science has to cut women's multiple orgasmic capacity to a single orgasm. Something has to be done, and it is one of the most important things. Because it creates problems in everybody's life. You both are intelligent, and I hope that you will prove my hypothesis that you can love each other and yet once in a while can have different affairs joyously, not reluctantly, not because I am saying it, but out of your own understanding.
Beloved Book One, the other day when your body fell a little, some of your sannyasins rushed towards you in a split second to help. There was no hustle and no confusion amongst them, and their movements were in perfect harmony. After the necessary assistance was finished, they sat back in their seats as if nothing had happened. This all happened within a couple of seconds. Book One, is this the reflection of awareness that you are constantly talking about?
Satyam Niranjan Yes, it is something of alertness. Something of silence and peace. Thank you. a discipline that arises out of awareness, not a discipline that is being forced through training. Only Sarjana was missing because he had not the camera ready. After you had gone back to your seats and I moved, I remembered Sarjana and I remembered a small story. An American couple are touring darkest Africa on safari. They are walking cautiously through the jungle when suddenly a huge lion springs out in front of them. It seizes the wife with its giant jaws and proceeds to drag her into the bush. Shoot! She screamed. Shoot! For Christ's sake! I can't. As the husband, I have run out of film. Everything was right, only Sarjana was not with his camera. I have heard he is angry with his camera. Wants to sell it. Don't do any such stupid thing. Even if you have run out of your film. Films we can get more.
Beloved Bhagwan, not long ago in a discourse, I heard you say that you hated spaghetti. Then recently you said you hated suntans. And now, just the other day, I heard you say that the only thing you hated was income tax. Does this mean that you don't hate spaghetti and suntans anymore? Or is there some mysterious connection between these three seemingly unrelated phenomena?
I don't hate anything. But just when I am talking to you, there are points which have to be emphasized. And when I say I hate spaghetti, I am simply emphasizing something. Hatred is not part of my being at all. In fact, I have never tasted spaghetti. And perhaps I will never taste it. Because of an accident, one of Italian women, a doctorate from the University of Rome and a professor in Rome, used to be my sannyasi. But she had a strange habit. One was that I don't think she had ever taken a single shower in his life. She used to stink. And she went on putting powder layers of powder. She was a beautiful woman. And it was she who made me so much afraid of spaghetti. Because she prepared spaghetti one day and brought it for me to eat. The spaghetti was smelling of her. I told her out, you just go out of the room, leave the spaghetti, I will eat. But I always eat alone, you just go out. And as she went out, the first thing was, I threw her spaghetti down the toilet. And the smell was so dangerous that even today it must be twenty-seven years before, but suddenly, if I remember spaghetti, I remember the woman, and the smell. And then it is no more a memory, I have to live it again. That's why I say I hate. Otherwise, spaghetti I have never tasted. just it came through a wrong way to me, through a wrong vehicle. Sometimes also I don't hate, but certainly I don't like. Because to me it seems a modern way of self-torture. It is something masochist. Lying down in the hot sun, all over the world millions of women are suffering, and nobody protests that it stop this nonsense. And that santan does not remain long. You are simply sunburned. In few days, you are healed and you are back to your normal color. If one really wants to be a little less white, santan is not the way. You need a certain pigment to be injected in your body. And then you will remain for your whole life the color you wanted. Santan to me always appears something like religious self-torture. The beaches are full. There is no space on beaches on a sunny day. I don't hate. Why should I hate? It has nothing to do with me. I simply don't like. I myself don't like to go into the sun. I love the sun to see from my air-conditioned room. A wealthy English tourist visiting America was curious about the Native American Indians, after touring one reservation, she asked her guide why some men had more feathers than others in their headdresses. We only have one feather because we only have one squaw, said the guide. Thinking the guide must be joking, he asked another man who said, "Oof, we have four feathers because we have four squaws." Disturbed that any culture could possibly have such a crude custom, she decided to ask the tribal chief for further explanation. "Why are there so many feathers in your headdress, chief?" she asked. "Me, chief? So me fuck them all." Big, small, short, tall, make no difference. The English lady was mortified. "You ought to be hung." "She's not." "You damn right," said the chief. "Me hung like buffalo." "Well," she cried, "you don't have to be so damned hostile." "Hostile? Dog style? Any style. Me fuck them all." Tears in her eyes and red with embarrassment, the woman cries, "Ah dear, ah dear." To which the chief replies, "No dear. Me no fuck dear. Asshole too high. Fuckers run too fast." Yes, I have been joking. I don't hate anybody. Neither the spaghetti nor the suntan nor the tax collector but when I am speaking I never speak anything that I have prepared before. And whatever I say, I want to say with my totality. with my spontaneity. And my word faith is simply a total expression of my dislike. My God, I am still smelling that.
That's so good.